ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। So we have to begin with chapter 5 of the book Vedanta Treatise. The topic, the chapter's name is, title is Exigency of Action. Now, the term exigency means emergency, an immediate requirement to act. That's what this chapter means. There's a lot of philosophy that's going around everywhere. People are very much in this country, especially very much acquainted with different schools of thoughts, having all kinds of, you know, ideas about life as it were. But when it comes to putting that into practice, you find there is tremendous lack there. People don't act that much. There's a lot of misunderstanding of the philosophy. In fact, a lot of people think that if you understand Vedanta, if you begin to spend more time with Vedanta, you will probably leave action. Whereas, Vedanta emphasizes on doing the action. It teaches us how to act correctly. It gives us the importance of doing the action. It is only through action can we reach the ultimate state of perfection. But it's not a mechanical action. When we say through the action you can reach ultimate state of perfection, what we mean is an action that is governed by knowledge, which becomes karma yoga. So this chapter, exigency of action, when you say it, is nothing but karma yoga. See, in this country where Bhagavad Gita is given many, many years ago, and a lot of people worship Gita, yet in this country you find in the offices the files don't move. Takes time, ages. You make a complaint, by the time a fellow will come, you know, you get this thing sorted out, it may take a few days. So much of time and energy is lost. Why? Because nobody understands the importance of action. How to do an action? To do an action in such a way that it doesn't leave any impression. If the action leaves an impression, it will be bound by that impression. And in this very chapter, he talks about the chronology of action. From vasana comes thought, from thought comes desire, from desire comes action, and from action again comes vasana. So you find one set of people not acting, giving into laziness, lethargy, postponing, heedless to the consequence. On the other side, you find people who are acting mechanically, without thinking. Not knowing how they can act in such a way without creating fresh impressions, without getting bound. So therefore, he talks about the inevitability of action, the value of action, the chronology of action, and how you can do the highest level of action, which is renunciation in the action, not renunciation of action. You know, how to have the right attitude mentally while you're performing the action. And that's what he calls as renunciation in action. Renunciation of action, everybody knows, giving up of action. The problem in the action is not the action itself. The problem is the mental desires, the possessiveness, the attachment, the ego. So the problem is the egocentric desires and egoistic attitude. So how through knowledge you can rise above these wrong notions, desires, the egocentric desires and egoistic attitude. How to renounce that? So when you renounce that and act, It's called renunciation in action. If you give up the action, it's called renunciation of action. So Vedanta is not renunciation of action. It is renunciation in action. A lot of people misunderstand. They think it's renunciation of action. They say, oh, yeah. So therefore, I don't want to get into action when I'm young. Sorry, Vedanta when I'm young. I'll get into Vedanta when I'm 60, 65. When I'm retired, when my body doesn't cooperate, I can't move much. And I also, you know, need some company. So might as well get taken to Vedanta. So that's not how Vedanta should be pursued. In fact, you should learn Vedanta. Learn how to act. So when you act in the spirit of renunciation, renouncing the desires and the wrong attitude, you achieve success. In fact, it is through this kind of action, which is what we call as right action, you enjoy life as well. So you never, by knowing this, you know, how to act, what kind of right attitude one must have while acting, you will be enjoying your life and you will be leading a successful life. Vedanta therefore says, you can have both peace and prosperity together. One set of people in the world, they're very prosperous, but by their own admission, they're very dynamic, they're prosperous, but by their own admission, they say we have lost our peace. Peace of mind is gone. Are very disturbed. On the other side, you find people who are not that active, not dynamic, not that prosperous, but they're relatively peaceful. That is also not correct. How to be dynamic, prosperous, and simultaneously be peaceful? That you will be able to, if you equip yourself with this Vedantic knowledge of the technique of right action. That's what this chapter is all about. You know, first and foremost, you need to understand the importance of action. You don't understand the importance of action. In fact, whatever we are going through in life, it is through action. And when we say action, inaction is also an action. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So, you do an action correctly, there is a result. You do an action wrongly, there is a result. You don't do an action, then also there is a result. This is the problem. So a lot of people think, if I don't do action, I'll be fine. No, you have to pay for both your omissions and commissions. Commissions means doing what you ought not to do. Committing such an action, you will pay for it. Omission is not doing what you ought to do. When you don't do what you ought to do, you will have to pay for it. So you will have to pay for not doing the action, what you are supposed to do. You will have to pay for doing what you are not supposed to do, or how you are not supposed to. And you will receive the result either way. So knowing how to do an action and you do the action, you will get the result. And the result that you will get when you're doing the right action is material prosperity, mental peace, and spiritual evolution. You will be evolving spiritually, you will be relatively peaceful here, and you will be experiencing prosperity, dynamic life. Therefore, this is a very, very important practical chapter. Exigency of action. Nobody can actually escape from doing the action. But while doing the action, we can change our attitude. None can remain without action. Nahi kashchit kshanamapi jatu tishtatya karmakrit karyate savashak karma sarva prakriti jayipunayi. Srimad Bhagavad Gita says, in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, is there Shri Krishna. None can escape action. Everybody has to do the action. The choice is with reference to attitude. What attitude you can have. That's going to make all the difference. That's the difference that you get when you gain the knowledge. See, the word for action in Sanskrit is karma. And the result of an action is also called karma. So the karmas are, the results with reference to karma, with reference to result, are prarabdha, samchita and agami. We studied this in a different context. So if I have done something, I'll have to pay the price for it. So good actions bring good results, bad actions bring bad results. Now, understanding this philosophy, what happens is, from today you can do the right actions, but you might have done some wrong actions in the past. You see, because of that, even though now you started doing the correct actions, you might have to face certain results today. But knowing all this, understanding the subject, you will be cheerfully facing those difficult situations. The karma may be bad because you've done something in the past. But now you're doing the right things now on. But the result catches up a little later. When the result catches up a little later, you don't crip. Why me? Why me? You know, you're able to beautifully face, I must have done something. God knows what it is. You know? Therefore, I'm facing all this. Okay, let me face it cheerfully. So that is what the knowledge of Vedanta can do. That's why we say, you got to learn the philosophy when you're young. And then meet the challenges of life. But we put the cart before the horse. We live the life, do all kinds of nonsense, and then when you're 60, 65, 70, you want to study Vedanta and get more frustrated. Because body is not cooperating, you want to sit and study at least 1 hour, you got to be able to sit. You're not able to. So all kinds of issues we have, physical, mental, emotional, intellectual, and then keep on tripping. So that's why we need to understand the importance of action. If we understand the importance of action, our country won't be like this. Swami Vivekananda got fed up. You know, he was talking so much philosophy everywhere. In some context somewhere he said, you fellows go and play football. He's from Bengal. So he said, go play football. He said, yeah, all that time going on, talking, too much analysis. This quoting of this sloka, that sloka, but hardly any action. Nothing is happening. So he said, you better start doing the action. Understand and function. Because the way to extricate yourself is through knowledge. It's through mechanical and apply an action that you do without application, you get caught. To be able to release yourself, become free, you got to do the action with application of your buddhi. All that he talks about in this chapter, exigency of action. So let's read the first topic, action is inevitable. Anybody would like to read? Sadhana, are you there?
Yes, Guruji. But I
Shweta, Shweta
was supposed to come. Shweta is not there.
Okay. So anybody would like to read?
Sunanda. I don't think it is.
Nobody wants to read. Okay, I will read. Action is inevitable. Action is inevitable means you cannot escape from action. I told you, you escape from action, meaning not do an action, it will bring you karma. See, last 2 days, somebody who is very close to me, in their family, somebody has got some growth in their kidney. So they wanted to meet a doctor, so I suggested a doctor in Chennai. They met them and they did the PET scan and all that. After seeing all the reports, there's a big growth in kidney and it spread up to lungs. So they are advising them immediately get the operation done. Since it's the fourth stage, we don't give you radiation or chemo or anything. We will operate you and then we'll give you medication. So they were asking, then do we have to necessarily do the operation? Can we take the medication without operation? For surgery. So the doctor said, listen, if you take the medication without surgery, the effect of the medicine is not that good. You do the surgery and then take the medication, the effect seems to be much better. So, therefore, you must do the surgery. In some cases, in the beginning itself, when the doctor doubts that it could be something like this, then they will suggest biopsy. You know? A lot of people say, yeah, this doctor doesn't know how to diagnose. Yes, yeah, like he's saying biopsy. What about pain? Go and he's saying biopsy. What has he studied? So you say, no. No biopsy. No surgery. He'll leave it. Postponing. Now, postponing has an effect. It will give you certain results. If you had not done the biopsy when it was in the first stage, you don't do anything about it. It will go to third stage, fourth stage, then it will become difficult for the doctor to save you, help you. So, never ever will you postpone anything. If you really understand the concept. You will not, it's not an option if you gain the knowledge. If you don't gain the knowledge, then we keep postponing. For a person who is knowledgeable, postponement is not an option. Similarly, yeah, people go to the level of committing suicide. When you understand how karma works, there is no question of suicide, nothing. You will not commit suicide. Because suicide is not a solution. You cannot escape. And of course, you will have next birth. And then you will have to face all the karmas where you left. You begin where you leave. It's like you sleep and you wake up. You begin where you leave now. When you sleep, all your loans are done, closed by somebody else. You have X amount of loan. So you went off to sleep after taking a few pills. And wake up in the morning. Somebody has paid your loans or what? You will only have to pay the loans. The same thing. Suicide, postponement, all these are only done by stupid fellows who have no idea about how life functions, life works. You know? Therefore, doing, but learning and doing. Because without learning you do, you get trapped. You don't do, you get trapped. In whole life, we need to learn to do the action in such a way that we always remain free. So a free person will always be doing action correctly and he will always remain free. If you understand this concept, why I am mentioning this, because later on he is going to talk about it in detail. A lot of people want to work till 40, 50, then I want to become free in life. They associate freedom with retirement. This is a very wrong understanding. Freedom has to be associated with the right action. If you really gain the knowledge, you will associate the word freedom with the right action. So when you therefore talk about freedom, 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 what do you have to free yourself from? Not from action, then what? Anybody? What do you have to free yourself from?
From the attachment. From the
attachment. That's correct then.
And do the action without any doership.
Perfect. Today sadhana has done a lot of sadhana.
That's just that much.
I think you got up early and did your proper studies and everything today, sadhana. The right attitude. You must develop the right attitude. When you do have the right attitude, you renounce the wrong attitudes in life, you become free. You have to free yourself from attachment. You have to free yourself from wrong attitudes, possessiveness, the doership, the ego. When you free yourself from that and you do the action, you will reap the results. You will enjoy life. And therefore, action is inevitable. It has to get into our head. I must do the action. I cannot. And for example, you are studying in the Vedanta class. You just listen and you leave it. You don't reflect. Only if you reflect, you will put it into practice. If you are not reflecting, you are not putting that into practice. So the result, the benefit you will get also will be very limited. Now, after listening, after reading the book, if you go and reflect, think, study, question, understand, and then put that into practice, you know, then you will benefit lot more, much, much more. You will achieve transformation. You will really benefit. So, you got to apply. Application is important. So therefore, you know, action is inevitable. Nobody can escape action. First topic, chapter 5, Vedanta Treatise, exigency of action. The first topic is, action is inevitable. Action is the insignia of life. The law of life proclaims that none can remain without performing activity. Everyone is made to act selflessly according to one's own temperament, inner temperament. Yet, if you choose to remain idle, you lead yourself to destruction. Nature draws your attention to this law. Observe the stagnant pool and the running brook. Where water stagnates, it turns filthy, dirty. Whereas running water is clear, pure. Learn the lesson from nature. If you are to succeed in life, be prosperous and peaceful, you must adopt the principle of running water. Follow their line of action. The river keeps moving, overcoming all obstacles, ever progressing. It never stops until it reaches the ocean. So must you pursue the path of action until you reach the abode of truth. The Bhagavad Gita highlights the gospel of karma, action, emphasizes the importance of fulfilling your obligatory functions in life. So, in the third chapter, one full chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is dedicated for the science of action. Chapter 3 of the Bhagavad Gita, called Karma Yoga. It's nothing but science of action. Why should you act? What is the importance of action? You should learn to value the action. And what are the obstacles that may be coming while doing the action? How to overcome those obstacles, etc., etc. He talks about in the third chapter. He gives the technique of right action. There is a nahi kashchit chanamapi jatu tishtatya karma krit karyate shavashat karma sarva prakriti jayir punarihi. None can remain without action even for a moment. Everybody will have to act. You will be forced to act through your nature. Somebody will be biting your nails. Somebody will be doing this. Something or other you will do. Because you are vastness. So, if you rest, you will rust. You rest, you will rust. Action is the insignia of life. Inaction is death. Spiritual death as well. So, spiritual suicide as well. Spiritual suicide, spiritual death means you will be increasing your vasanas. See, remember, idle mind is a devil's workshop. If you are not doing any action and your mind is preoccupied with something, you will be developing more and more impressions and vasanas. You will be digging your grave more and more. You will be moving far away from the spirit within, the self within, which is spiritual suicide, which is death, spiritually speaking. Therefore, inaction is not an option. Please understand. When your body becomes tired, it will slip into sleep. But you won't be contemplating rest mentally. You understand that life means action. In the running water, there is life. Water is clear. People draw water through the pipes from the running water. In a stagnant pool, the water becomes dirty. There is foul smell. Life becomes extinct there. Slowly, slowly. The water has to constantly move. Similarly, you have to be constantly engaging yourself in action. In Vedanta, he says, you are contemplating retirement, you don't come to meet us. Don't even discuss with us. Anybody who wants to come to discuss about retirement, don't come to us. Anybody who wants to live life more cheerfully, dynamically, wants to contribute to the society, you know, come. That's what Vedanta talks about. So, we got to learn from nature to constantly keep moving. You know, I give the example, a little inauspicious example in the spiritual context. For the two slogans are there. One is for Nike shoes, you know. The slogan is, just do it. It's a fascinating slogan. That is okay. That is a good slogan. There's another product. Slogan is good, but the product itself, nothing wrong or anything. But it's an inauspicious kind of a product from the spiritual angle. It's Johnny Walker. It says, Johnny Walker, keep walking. No? Or keep moving, keep walking. Or keep on functioning. If you are thinking of moving away from action, that means it's a sign of you falling ill mentally. Please understand. There is no way you can find rest away from work. You got to find that rest in the work. And that's what this chapter talks about. Exigency of action. If you understand the knowledge, you'll be having tremendous energy to do the action. Be looking forward for Monday morning, not Friday evenings. We will start a new restaurant called TGIN. We already have a restaurant called TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Now, you will start a new restaurant by the name TGIN. I know you're all business people. If you go and start a restaurant, I'll sue you. I'll sue you for giving us some share, giving you this idea. Not really. But honestly speaking, everybody must be contemplating, thank God it's Monday. But everywhere, thank God it's Friday. You know, I'm now sitting in our ashram. I'm giving this stuff to you from our ashram. Around our ashram, it was beautiful when I was studying here. Now also the place is fantastic, beautiful. Serene place. But around the ashram, it's a 30-acre campus. But around it, so many people from Mumbai have come and bought the land and they've built their houses. And every weekend, sometimes Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, loud party going. Too much noise. Disturbing us from doing our work. Anyway, that's the way they want to live. Why I'm mentioning that is, everybody wants to escape. Looking forward for weekends. Mumbai people come to this place near Lonavala. At Delhi, there must be some other place. Chennai, there must be something else. Everywhere it's like. Weekend means enjoy? Only weekends we enjoy. What about 5 days? You suffer or what? Vedanta teaches you how to enjoy all the 7 days. That's what he's talking about. You must learn from the nature. In nature, nothing is resting. Have you ever heard of Sunday for Mr. Sun? Have you ever heard?
No. Why is anybody else answering?
Huh?
No.
Sandhya is here. Sandhya means the Sandhya timing. Sandhya, do you think there is a Sunday for Mr. Sun? S-U-N.
Not at all. We'd be finished if it was the case.
Exactly. 7 continuous days. If sun doesn't rise, we'll all be gone. We'll all be gone anyway one day. That's a different matter. But it will be slightly preponed. So sun doesn't have any Sunday. Only we have Sunday. Sunday doesn't mean away from work. In the academy, we don't have a Sunday. In fact, we don't know what is a Sunday. We only know whether it's Sunday and all that when guests come. People from Mumbai and Pune, they come on the weekends, some of them. I know, okay, today is a Sunday. Today is a Saturday. That's how we know. Otherwise, every day is the same schedule we have. So therefore, he says, you must learn from the nature. You've got to constantly engage in action. Renouncing the doership. That he teaches. Continue. The scripture wants that even to maintain your body, you must be active. See, if this little finger I don't exercise, what will happen to that little finger? It will perish. Even to maintain the body, you got to act. Maintenance of action, sorry, maintenance of the body requires action. If any part of your body remains inactive for a period of time, it loses its strength and vitality. Your body needs to be kept in constant repair. You must exercise daily. But people detest the idea of physical exercise. Instead, they choose to indulge in sensual pleasure. You do not want to exercise the body, but you constantly keep on feeding the 5 senses. They do not seem to realize that even enjoyment of sensual pleasures needs proper maintenance of the physical body. See, if you don't do proper exercise, you get into a lot of physical ailments. As a result, you won't be able to enjoy. To be able to enjoy life, you need to be exercising the body. Therefore, he says, even to enjoy, you cannot adhere to inaction. A person who is constantly acting, he can enjoy. Even supposing somebody has got diabetes because of certain family history or whatever it may be, what do the doctor say? You take the tablet, you go for a walk, you do this, you keep your sugar levels under control, you can enjoy. But if you don't do that, then you will not enjoy. So that's what it is. The neglect of physical exercise will prove detrimental to your material and spiritual well-being. Spiritual well-being because physical body is an equipment through which you have to do sadhana. If you, supposing you can't hear, you can't do any yoga or breathing exercise, even simple actions you can't do. How will you grow spiritually? Hence the first lesson Swami Vivekananda gave out to his followers was, go play football. Keep yourself active. Face the challenges of life. What is to be lost is not the action. What is to be lost is the doership. Next paragraph. Vedanta insists on work, work, and work. equally so, it glorifies the renunciation. Two things simultaneously, the knowledge of Vedanta praises. It praises work, action. On the other hand, it praises renunciation. So that's where a lot of people get confused. What is this? You're saying Vedanta talks about action also, Vedanta talks about renunciation also? Yes. They are not two different concepts. They are one and the same. When Vedanta talks about renunciation, it's not talking about renunciation of action. It's talking about renunciation of wrong attitudes in action. So Vedanta insists on work, work and work. Equally so, it glorifies renunciation. There is an apparent contradiction. How can action and renunciation go together? This doubt goes when one understands the deeper import of the gospel of work. In fact, real work is founded on renunciation. Real work is founded on renunciation. When the ego is removed, real work comes out of the person. See, generally a person may be a talkative, chatterboxing, going on talking. You put the fellow on a podium, tell him, okay, talk now. 1,000 people are watching him. He cannot talk. Why? Because he's become very self-conscious. So he's not renounced the ego. So when the ego is high, your productivity goes down. When the ego is dead, productivity is maximum. That's what he's saying. The real work is founded on renunciation. Within bracket, you put renunciation of egoistic attitude, the doership. So therefore, he says renunciation of ego, which is work performed without egoistic feeling. I am the doer. I am the sole architect of all that I do. Real work is turned out when the body plunges into action, while the mind is attuned to an ideal set for it. People like Mahatma Gandhi, you see in the documentary, when they show it in the television channels or go to watch a movie, they put a documentary. You know, Mahatma Gandhi went for a Dandi March. I don't know how old he was at that time, 60, 70. At that age of 60, 70, he's leading a march against the Britishers. And he's walking so fast. From where is his energy coming? Whereas we, at the age of 30, 40, 50, no energy, feel like committing suicide, but I can't commit suicide because uske liye bhi energy nahi hai. Kyun energy nahi hai hamare paas? Unke paas itni utna energy hai. The greater the ideal, the greater the energy. Because in the great, in the highest ideal, the individual ego is gone. See, few years ago, there was this Australian Open finals between Nadal and Djokovic. Great champions, both of them. Between the two of them, they played the finals in Australian Open. Usually it's a 5-7 match which finishes maybe 3 hours, 4 hours. That day it was going on and on. Both were two each, two sets each. And then tiebreaker. There is no tiebreaker in the fifth set. So you have to have two leads. No? Two games lead. It is going on and on. I don't remember the score now. It played for so long, I think finally Djokovic won the match. Some 15, 13, something like that. The fifth set. I was also awake watching that. It was an unbelievable match. And then, when the, you know, winner's trophy and all that was distributed, they had put a chair for them, first time. Please sit down. The fellows could not, they had completely finished physically. Supposing the match was not over and they had to play, they would have played maybe another 5-6 games. So what is happening is, the fired by, they have won many trophies, those fellows. So they have dedicated themselves for a certain higher ideal. So when they are playing, ego is completely lost in that ideal. Djokovic wins. His country is proud. So many youngsters in their country is inspired. Not only there, in many other countries, are at this age, 39, 38, 39, 40, 41, these fellows are playing at that level. I am such a youngster. So I get inspired, right? When people see, so many people get inspired. They are at that level. They are working. So they forget. The ego is lost. Tremendous energy. The moment game is over, again they become tired. So what I am saying is, when there is higher ideal for which you work, when your ego is renounced, you don't remember yourself. You do the maximum work with full attention and concentration. The more I comes, I am doing. You conduct a wedding. Ye karna, wo karna. He should not misunderstand. She should not misunderstand. You know, everybody must think that this is the best wedding that they've attended. I, in everything there is an I. So, it's the I that is hanging heavily on your back. So after the 10 days of work, you need to go to some spa for some treatment for a few days. So the 10 days are over. No, God, come back to the wedding. Why? Because it's not the quantum of work. It's the quality of work. Our I is weighing heavily upon our actions. Swamiji talks about a book somebody gave him many years ago. The book's title was The Europe I Saw. Europe I Saw. Swamiji read the first few pages. Everywhere it's I. So he threw it in the bin and then he said, the title of the book should be changed. It should not be Europe I Saw. It should be the I that saw Europe. Har jagah mein I. I'm doing this. Nobody is doing this. Amiji, koi kaam hi nahi karta. Sab kuch maine karna padta. Theek hai. Fine, I'm doing. But uske thoda bahut gratitude hona chahiye. Wo bhi nahi hai. You know, I. So that is what he's saying. Real work is turned out when the body plunges into action while the mind is attuned to an ideal set for it. This is what Swami Ramtirtha calls it as intense work is rest. A true worker is one who pours out his efforts for a higher cause beyond his selfish interest. And does it without an egoistic arrogation of doership. That's the spirit of renunciation to be practiced. Such work demands success and prosperity concurrently with peace and bliss. You can practice it in your home, in business, in society, everywhere. There is no need to retire to the forest for living a life of renunciation. A lot of people think I have to go to jungle to live a life of renunciation. You don't have to go to jungle. You have to gain the knowledge. With that knowledge, you got to lead your life. With the knowledge, when you lead the life, whatever you do. Now I'm teaching this Vedanta. Now if I think I have to do, everybody is waiting for me to come and give lecture. If I, all the time, I think without me, Delhi Center will not run. Huh? Therefore, I don't come to ashram at all. I'll sit all the time in Delhi. Then such I is preoccupying my head, then there is very little action that comes out of it. Please understand. When you hand over the I to Bhagavan, the actions come through you is Bhagavan's action. When you keep the eye, the actions come out is yours. When you do the action, all stupid rubbish action comes out of you. But when Bhagawan does it through you, a beautiful, productive, dynamic, prosperous actions come out of you. That's what Gita is all about. Sri Krishna is called as Venugopal. What does Venugopal mean? Who has the flute? Who knows how to play the flute? You know? Venu. Flute has 7 holes. 5 holes represents your 5 senses. The 6th and 7th represents your mind and intellect. So the entire flute represents your complete personality. You've got to hand over your personality to Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. Then he will play the flute. A beautiful music will come out of you. But if you don't hand it over to him, you hand it over to your ego. That's it. It's like handing over a mala in the hands of a monkey. What will happen to the mala? Completely torn apart. This is what is happening to us today. We are all handing over their personality to the monkey within, the mind. Ego within, we are handing over. And we are torn apart. We should learn to hand it over to the Bhagwan, the self within. And he says the greatest ideal in life is self-realization, realization of your supreme self, Atman, God. Try to attune yourself to that ideal. When your mind is directed to the self within and your body is engaged in earnest work, you rise above your little self. Your ego gradually disappears. The idea of I and mind drops off. You are the greatest worker when you consider yourself no worker. You become a mere instrument of the divine self. You then generate harmony, peace and love within and without. So how to become a great worker by being a no worker? If you want to put it in one line, execute action, executing ego. The word execute also means kill, no? Executing ego, when you execute action, you will be doing the right action. As long as you are alive, while the actions are going on, jarring note will come out of. As long as you are not alive while the actions are going on, divinity is alive, beautiful actions come out of. So through knowledge, you get rid of the ego. It's like driving the car with your handbrakes put down. Some people don't know that there's a handbrake. They drive the car with the handbrakes on. And it goes on giving some sound, cut, 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 sound. Comes that slowly, slowly it destroys the parts of the car also. Driving is also not pleasurable. All you need to do is put the handbrakes down and drive. Why do you want to put the handbrakes on? Some people don't start the car itself. They're all in tamasic state. Lazy state. They don't act. They don't act. Another set of people who act, they are acting with the handbrakes on. You'll learn Vedanta, you'll put the handbrakes down. You'll say, I'm not going to get into this stupid action with ego. Next paragraph. The idea of working in a spirit of renunciation has confused people. Even today, this concept is not understood, much less appreciated as a way of life. People either become attached, entangled in work, their work, or cowardly escape from it. You must realize that action is inevitable. You cannot avoid your obligatory functions. Remember this. You cannot avoid your obligatory functions. Your obligations are determined by your goal. Obligations are determined by your role. Your obligations are determined by the receipts in your life. where all you received, you are obligated. You have received from your parents, you are obligated to them. You have received from this country, the society, you are obligated to it. You receive from your teachers, your school, your institute, you are obligated to it. So your receipts, your roles, your goal. Role means you are a father, you are a mother, you are a daughter, you are son, husband, etc. Accordingly, you have certain obligations. You have an obligation according to your nature, according to your role, according to your goal. If that's my goal, I have certain obligatory duties to do to get to that goal. So these are the factors that determine your obligation. And you have no way you can escape from those obligations. You must realize that action is inevitable. You cannot avoid your obligatory functions. In the epic Mahabharata, a great battle was fought between two royal forces. Arjuna was a warrior prince leading one of the armies. He aimed at destroying unrighteousness and resurrecting righteousness in the country. The stage was set for the battle to commence. At the crucial moment, Arjuna wanted to withdraw from the scene. The warrior declined to fight. He shrank from his obligatory duty. He appealed to Lord Krishna if he could leave the battlefront. He was not only appealing to leave the battlefront, he was also requesting Sri Krishna to come away with him. It was then that the Lord gave Arjuna the sermon of Bhagavad Gita. He preached the necessity of action, the art of right action, how the role of action embraces the principle of renunciation. He advised Arjuna to renounce his egoistic feeling, fight the battle impersonally for the welfare of the world, welfare of the people. In Sanskrit, it's called Loka Sangraha. Loka means world. Loka Sangraha means welfare of the world, welfare of the people of the world. You should do your actions for the welfare of the people. Like I am teaching Gita now, Viti, Vedanta teachers. I can think how I can become famous through these actions. Or I can make more money. How I can get more contacts. Selfish. How I can become more popular. This is my attitude, let's say. Then I am doing a very, very mundane kind of act. Otherwise, I do it because I have desire. I want everybody to understand Vedanta. That's also wrong. Slightly better than the first one. But the real way to do is, nature is to talk. I have experienced this study and all that for long years. It has helped me. I'm sure it will help people. I talk. As an obligation. It's my nature. It's my duty. That's my goal. So I talk. Then, I won't develop more and more, you know, impression. I can do it. Any action can be done with the right attitude or wrong attitude. There is no such thing as perfect action. Who is teaching Bhagavad Gita, he will not incur sin. No, if you do it with selfish attitude, you will incur sin. On the contrary, on the battlefield, you may be killing somebody. But for the welfare of the world, then you are not incurring sin. That's what we need to understand. Therefore, Arjuna succumbed to his emotions and said, I will not fight. Sri Krishna said, Arey yaar, nobody can escape from obligatory duties. You as a Kshatriya have to do this. Why you won't escape? You cannot escape. That's the Gita pressed home the role of action in the spiritual path. Yet the Indians consider it a text more for the retirement of the old. Ironically, the Gita's subtle principles of action are practiced more beyond the shores of India. In most Western countries, people have kept the nation at their altar, above their little selves, above their little ego, and dedicated work to the nation's prosperity and welfare. Consequently, they have become progressive, productive and prosperous. See, one of our class members was working as a merchant navy captain. So his ship used to go to different ports in the world and, you know, they were transporting goods from one country to another. So once there were a lot of eatables loaded from Japan. Halfway through, and the ship was on the sea, going to its destination, they got a message saying some of the, you know, boxes we had sent in your ship, we came to know that the food are all spoiled, petrified. Don't deliver it. You throw it, we will bear the cost of it and all that. So they did so. When the ship went back to the country a few years later, one ordinary employee from the company which had sent the goods long time ago, he came and met this captain and said, last time when you had come, you picked up a lot of stuff from our company to be delivered to the other country. He had sent a message saying some of them are spoiled, you might have thrown it. My company paid for it also. But I have come to tell you, it's not the fault of my company. It's my personal fault. I should have checked it. So don't blame the company for it. I am to be blamed. See, that is what he means by saying, putting yourself in the altar of your nation, altar of your company, your family, your organization. And an employee works like that. Tremendous work. The right work comes out of such a person. And the leader should work like that to inspire the others. The leader himself is functioning selfishly. How can you expect others to do such great action? That's what he's trying to say. When in such higher altar, the ego is dissolved, what comes out of you will be beautiful, perfect, which will bring both prosperity and peace. So let's conclude now. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyeva Vidyatmana Va Prapate Svabhava Karomi Adhya Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Eti Samartayami.